Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
And it's a Friday, December 20th, 2013. Always good to be with you throughout the country and the globe. Of course, because, as you just heard, of EWTN. Stay tuned to all of our radio and TV programming as we move into Christmas next week. As Tom Price from EWTN Radio mentioned last week, some great, or actually the other day, some great programming coming up as usual. And by the way, if you didn't catch the reruns, which are now playing, of our third season of The Catholic View for Women, that is coming up at 10:30 Eastern Time this morning on EWTN. And you can find out more about The Catholic View at thecatholicviewforwomen.com. And don't forget to go on that page and give us some ideas for next season. Now, we already had a few ideas based on some of the ideas we didn't get to last season. But normally, every show that we do is in response to a listener concern or request. Obviously, we look at how many come in and what people are, what's on people's minds and hearts and what they want to learn more about. But in every season, we have tried to address all the issues that are front and center to you, the issues that you're dealing with as a woman, a man, and the show is also for men, too. We say Catholic View for women, but we also have a lot of men viewers. So, you know, whatever you think that needs some exploring, maybe some explaining culturally, church-wise, in terms of teaching, you know, send us a note. We'd love to hear from you. And again, you can find out more information at thecatholicviewforwomen.com. Okay, coming up in the show today, of course, our dear friend Brian Patrick is going to be with us, and he's going to be sharing with us what's coming up in some special shows over the holidays on Sacred Heart Radio and also on EWTN in the time that they carry his wonderful show, the Sunrise Morning Show. And then after we check the news and chat with Patrick, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll chat with Father Mark Haidu from the Vatican Patrons of the Arts. He's back in Roma. He has been all over the place here in the U.S. on book signing tour and a tour for the Vatican Patrons here, the chapters in the United States. His book, though, is a really, really good last-minute Christmas gift. Well, it's a good gift, period, but if you're looking for something, someone who likes art, someone who is looking for something more reflective, Meditations on Vatican Art, beautiful book. And actually, I've been using it as part of my Advent meditations and reflections, so I can talk specifically about what the book has meant to me. So Father Mark Haidu is coming up at 15 minutes past the hour, and then we are going to be chatting with Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center. Takes a look at the way the media have been covering this whole big hullabaloo with Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson, which reminds me, and doesn't it remind you of what happened with the whole thing with Chick-fil-A? Remember? And I think the forces behind this attack on this evangelical Christian who spoke the truth in love about what the Bible says about a long list of sins, by the way, not just sexual sins, I think they're being taken by surprise. Because I think people, and not just fellow believers, are just fed up with this political correctness. And if you don't buy into the cultural company line, then you're a bigot and you're a hate monger. And they want to fear us into silence. Nobody wants to talk about sin, any type of sin. As Dr. Pia said yesterday, the only thing that we can talk about that's a sin is being overweight or smoking or doing something along those lines that they think is politically incorrect also. All right? It's ridiculous. There's a lot of statements coming out. Very interesting. For example, Governor Jindal down in Louisiana says, so Miley Cyrus can do whatever she wants, and I'm paraphrasing. I do have the statement. I'll read it for you during the news. She could do all kinds of disgusting things that objectify herself and women and make all kinds of inappropriate gestures, and everybody laughs at it, and that's it. And yet this man is quoting Scripture. He says, the Bible says. And he's saying, I'm a believer. I don't judge anyone. I love the Lord. I want to tell them about the Lord. The Almighty is going to do the judging. But I'm a Christian, and this is what I believe. And this is what the Bible says. And again, as Pia stressed yesterday, he wasn't just talking about sexual sin. He was talking about a number of different sins and what the Bible says to us. Granted, in the first part of the conversation, his words were somewhat coarse. But it is well-known fact that this is an evangelical Christian family. So either A&E didn't care about the audience or totally misread their audience. Because this is a family that has expressed their strong belief in God many, many times. It's part of who they are, their makeup. But I think what's a real tragedy is the way certain political groups, certain lobby groups think that all they have to do is just put the fear factor in people and we're supposed to shut up and go away. And yet they call us hate mongers and they're saying awful, vile things about Christians. You know, very, very, very frustrating. But I think everything that we need to do always is to preach the love of God. And as the Pope said, he doesn't judge. God does the judging. But the Pope, when he made that statement, he reflected beautifully, which was left out of the media reports. He reflected beautifully on the Catechism of the Catholic Church and even referenced the Catechism of the Catholic Church regarding homosexuality. So we'll talk more about this with Dan Gaynor. By the way, I do want to let you know, EWTNnews.com has a great story on this on their website, and I'm going to quote part of that as well in my newscast, but it's very good in compiling the different statements of different groups that are really coming out of the woodwork to say, A&E, hello, you didn't know these people were Christians? So take a look at it. Good stuff. EWTNnews.com. So I mentioned Brian Patrick, Father Mark Hadou, Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center. Janet Morena is back with us, and she wrote a very interesting blog about something else that's been getting a lot of attention. There was a columnist who expressed concern about Santa and the way Santa is portrayed, has been portrayed over the years, and she says it's caused her and others great offense, and so therefore she thinks Santa should be replaced by penguins. And Janet wrote a very interesting blog, which is posted on priestforlife.org and also the CatholicViewForWomen.com. And then it's a Friday, so we wrap up with our friend Dan Burke from EWTN, the National Catholic Register, and the Avila Institute. And he is, of course, very involved in spiritual direction and helping people find spiritual directors. And he's going to turn the tables on me once again. We're walking through my book, God's Bucket List, Heaven's Surefire Way to Happiness in This Life and Beyond, from Image Books, because he really wants people to understand more about discernment, and I do dive in very deeply into discernment in the book. So that's our show for today. Right now, though, it's time to go to our friend Brian Patrick, who has been waiting patiently while I've been going on and on and on and on. Hey, early Merry Christmas
Merry
to you, brother.
Merry Christmas, blessed Advent, Happy New Year. I've asked Anna Mitchell to join us because I know you wanted to talk about some special stuff coming up.
I know.
Yeah, hey, Teresa, hey, I want to talk to you about what I'm going to be doing on New Year's Eve. You know, next year, this time, we'll be in Rome.
Right, yes, God willing,
very exciting.
Yes.
Well, this year on New Year's Eve, I am going to be hosting a Best of the Sunrise Morning Show end of the year program going through the top 20 stories of 2013. Can you guess what the top story of 2013 might be?
Does it have something to do with the Pope?
Perhaps. You know, I was reflecting on this. I have the show sitting in front of me right now as I'm working on it today. And it occurred to me that this might be the first time, because I go through with my show, I talk about secular and Catholic news and kind of, you know, combine the two for my end of the year show. Now, if you're watching a secular news program, most oftentimes you're not going to have the same kind of lineup of stories as I would. You know, that's the beauty of having Catholic news mixed in with the regular news. But I think this year there is a very, very, very good possibility that our top stories line up, both secular and Catholic news.
Yeah. Although the way you cover it will be much different from the way the secular media cover it. So.
Well, yes, there's that. But it's very exciting to see nonetheless. I do an interview with Luke Coppin, and he talks about the fact that this is a big opportunity for the Catholic Church, even though the media often gets it wrong. It's still an opportunity for us to have our church portrayed in a good light. I mean, you think about it, Pope Francis is still very popular mm-hmm. with the secular media, at least as of right now.
Right. Well, obviously, when the issue comes up, we have to be out there and we have to be engaging, so I totally agree. So when will this air, Annie?
This is going to air on the morning of New Year's Eve, so December 31st.
Okay.
Yes, and it'll be from 6 to 8 Eastern, and check your local times for whenever the Sunrise Morning Show is running in your area. But I've had a lot of fun putting this together, and I hope a lot of people have a good time listening to it.
Yeah, that'll be before your New Year's party, Teresa, so you'll be able to get up early to listen to it. Now, New Year's Day might be a different story.
Yeah, luckily it's the day before all the partying happens.
Oh, stop. So, Brian, what are you... Thanks, Annie. Appreciate it. And a Happy New Year and an early Merry Christmas to you. Brian, what are you doing
for the
holidays?
Too.
Well, I'm going to spend some time, of course, with my beautiful daughters and grandchildren, and also attend a funeral, a massive Christian burial for a dear friend of the family. Aww. So that's part of life, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it is. But with thanks be to God for the Catholic Church, because we are pro-life from womb to tomb, and we also look at the beauty of that next phase of our mm-hmm. spiritual lives, and that's, God willing, going to heaven to be with the Lord.
And you know what else we're going to do?
What?
We're going to sleep in a little bit.
Are you?
You know, to do the Sunrise Morning Show, we have to get up at 3:30 in the morning.
Ah, cry me a river. I did that for years.
I know, so did I. And believe me, I get up and I say, thank you, God, that I have a reason. But to have a stretch of a week and a half to not have to get up, and I still wake up kind of early.
No, I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you and wake you up.
Just sing for me, okay, Teresa?
Yes.
But I do want to wish you and Rosie and all of our friends at Ave Maria Radio, Al, Dr. Ray, and everybody a wonderful rest of the season of Advent, a very blessed Christmas, and a Happy New Year, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we love you guys, and thanks for all the great work you do, and look forward to working with you again, God willing, in 2014.
Look forward to the new year, but in the meantime, let's celebrate this beautiful season. God bless you, dear.
You too, Brian. Happy Advent for the rest of the season, and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. All right, we are just about out of time now for this segment, and I really want Father Marcato to be, to have that whole segment with us. So I just want to read this statement that came out. And again, regarding the controversy with the Duck Dynasty, I'm going to direct you to EWTNnews.com because they have a really good summary of all the different things, including the statement from Governor Bobby Jindal, what the National Organization for Marriage is doing about this, quotes from the Alliance Defending Freedom Organization. They have some really, really good statements, and they've summarized it beautifully. So EWTNnews.com. But this is a statement that the family, that Robertson's family put out, so I'll read this to you. And again, Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center joining us at the bottom of the hour. We want to thank all of you for your prayers and support. The family has spent much time in prayer since learning of A&E's decision. We want you to know that first and foremost, we are a family rooted in our faith in God and our belief that the Bible is His Word. While some of Phil's unfiltered comments to the reporter were coarse, his beliefs are grounded in the teachings of the Bible. Phil is a godly man who follows what the Bible says are the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Phil would never incite or encourage hate. We are disappointed that Phil has been placed on hiatus for expressing his faith, which is his constitutionally protected right. We have had a successful working relationship with A&E, but as a family, we cannot imagine the show going forward without our patriarch at the helm. We are in discussions with A&E to see what that means for the future of Duck Dynasty. Again, thank you for your continued support. The statement from the Robertson family, reacting to what's been happening in the media the last couple of days. And again, EWTNnews.com is a great story on this in terms of a summary of some of the statements and the activity that's been going on. 14 minutes past the hour. It's a Friday morning, December 20th, 2013, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back, and we'll go to Rome. And by the way, I also have an update. I forgot to mention this on Joan Lewis. We'll be right back.
Introducing the sleek, glamorous, and brand-new 2014 Jeep Cherokee. Not the same as any other car on the road today. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and we are so excited about this brand-new vehicle that gets up to 35 miles per gallon. We ordered 100 of them. So if you want a great deal from a company with morals and values, then come to Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com during the Big Finish year-end sales event.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
You must make a stop this Advent season to Our Lady of Grace Bookstore inside Domino's Farms and walk away with gifts for your family and friends. The moment you open the illustrated Bible, story by story, it will be hard to close. The breathtaking art and photographs, as well as the descriptions, bring the stories of the Bible to life and make you want to learn more. It's a great display book for your home and educates like an encyclopedia. If you're a big fan of art and its appreciation, Our Lady of Grace Bookstore has Meditations on Vatican Art from Father Mark Haidu. Scott Hahn says it's an inspiring 28-day Ignatian retreat led by a man who is adept at art, history, scripture, and prayer. Sister Wendy Beckett, the famous art critic and historian, has an art series too. Those ideas, plus children's books like the new Angels for Kids, Bibles, icons, rosaries, and crucifixes, is what Our Lady of Grace Bookstore is known for having all year round. Our Lady of Grace Bookstore, inside Lobby C at Domino's Farms.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of hope, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold.
16 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Catholic Connection on a Friday, December 20th. The beautiful voice of our friend Bob Rowe. He'll be back with us next week, and we'll be sharing some of his Christmas music with us. Father Mark Haidu was in Rome, back in Rome after a book tour, a whirlwind book tour, and also visits to patrons of the arts chapters around the country. And his book, I highly recommend it, Meditations on Vatican Art. If you're looking for a gift for someone, for example, who loves art, or someone who really is looking for a way just to sit down and have some quiet time with the Lord and to maybe give themselves a mini Ignatian spiritual retreat, which actually is what I've been doing with this book. I've been using it. And Father, you'll be very proud of me because it's been on my coffee table with my Magnificat and my Word Among Us and my other Advent reflection books. And I really like it. Beautifully done. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa, and thank you. I'm honored to be on your coffee table.
But I'm bummed. Try the feeling zeroing. Yeah. Oh, listen. You did a great job with the book, though, Father. I love it. And for me, it's nice because even though I've had the privilege, and I just am so grateful to God for the opportunity to go to Rome so often, sometimes when you're on a tour and you're with a group and you're walking by, you don't take the time because you're on such a tight schedule to really kind of reflect on that particular piece of art, on what the artist may have been thinking, the types of materials that were used. And so this is a great way, in addition to obviously the Ignatian spirituality that's in this book, but it really is a great way to revisit those pieces of art.
Yeah, I think it is, because everybody's life is so frenetic and fast-paced and running from one thing to the next that a lot of times we don't have them kind of stop and put things in perspective and meditating on our works of art with detail and can really be a window into a spiritual awakening where you're starting to see God's hand all around you. You know, it's almost a habit, it's a virtue to look on things with eyes of faith. And so that's my hope, at least, as people meditate on the sacred art and meditate on the scriptures together, then they almost form kind of a song starts happening in their soul, and then they're singing it all day long, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, how is the book doing sales-wise? Do you know?
We've been really blessed, yes, and selling very well. It was the Amazon top seller in new releases for religion for 3 weeks running. I think some other books have now joined me, which is always good. The more, the merrier. That's what the gospel is. It's a sign that people are hungry for beauty. People are hungry for things that help them pray. And obviously the Vatican always has that appeal year in and year out, kind of what's perennial, what's beautiful, what lasts forever.
Have you received some meaningful feedback and people using the book and people getting a lot out of it? What are they saying?
Yeah, a lot of people have. And similar to your story is that people have been using it for prayer, have been sitting down with their day and taking some time to pray with it. And it's been reminding them of a trip to Rome, reminding of another retreat that they did, reminding them of other spiritual moments in their life that kind of they're connecting the dots, you know. And as I was mentioning before, even some of, you know, some fantastic examples of generous souls who love God, who are carrying on major difficulties, major crosses, but they're able to find peace, find encouragement, find light, to be able to persevere in those circumstances thanks to the meditation.
Now, what did you learn about, because you're there and your job, you have a very wonderful position where you get to be around the art and you get to help to introduce the world to the art, to the Vatican patrons, but you see these great pieces of art, the religious art in particular, every single day practically when you're either walking through the Basilica or, you know, many of your
right.
stops in these different churches. Is there something, even though you've studied this and you've put so much work into research for the book, is there something that you learned about art, or maybe about a particular piece of art, a particular painting, that you didn't know before you did the book?
I did. I mean, when you're kind of like the artist when you're meditating on the art, because you're looking at everything with attention and with detail and asking yourself, now, why did he do it this way and not another way? And you really enter into the mind and the heart of the artist, and that's where you start to learn new things. Sometimes we're kind of superficial in our knowledge of things. We just over and gloss over and say, okay, this is what the textbook says. I learned so much just stopping, reflecting, and meditating on, for example, Caravaggio's deposition, just to see that face that he places on the stone altar in which Jesus is being placed, and see that that was supposed to be at the height behind the altar where the priest would elevate the Eucharist.
Mm.
For me, it was a whole new way to understand the painting as an invitation towards Christ coming down on the altar and his death and resurrection that's present on our altars. It renewed the way I celebrate my Mass as a priest.
What about if someone doesn't have any background in art or hasn't spent any time in Rome? Should they get this book still, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, I kind of wrote it with a heart for those who are a little further away from the faith or maybe aren't art experts, because I thought I wanted to make a bridge to the beauty of the Vatican collections for everyone. So there is a bit of art history included in it, but I chose pieces that are easily appreciated. You don't need a master's in art history to appreciate Michelangelo. You know, just anyone with an interest and with the time can reflect and get something out of it. And perhaps less religious will just enjoy the beauty of it, and then that beauty can open their hearts also to the source of all beauty, which is Jesus Christ, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I really like the reflection questions, because they are, I'll tell you, they're challenging, Father.
That was it. The gospel is challenging, and sometimes when we gloss over it quickly, don't let it sink in, especially even myself, I've been trying to follow our Lord for many years, but many times when you're in prayer, something challenges you in a way that, like, oh, I hadn't thought of that, and maybe I'm not responding to the gospel the way I should in that area. So the questions are meant to provoke a deeper, for someone who's been walking with our Lord for many years.
Mm. Now, did you release it in time for this season for a particular purpose? Because what you can do is you can work your way through it, or at least half of it, through Advent. And then you also have, of course, a lot of artwork on the Passion of our Lord. So you could use it during Lent leading up to Easter as well.
Exactly. It was kind of on purpose to try to get the book done in time for Advent and for Christmas to help people live their Advent better. And
oops, Father, are you there? Oop, I think we lost him. He's traveling in Rome. Oh, there you are. Go ahead. We lost you for a second. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it is people who want to study and want to pray, and now is the time when people have a little more time to dedicate to prayer as they're preparing for Christ's incarnation at Christmas. But then the themes of the spiritual exercises go all throughout the year, so also at Lent will be a wonderful opportunity to meditate once again on these same works of art and the truths that they reveal to us.
Hmm. All right. Well, I know you said that the weather is rainy in Rome, but what are your plans for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day? How will you be celebrating, Father?
I will be there with Pope Francis on the Midnight Mass, which is actually at 9:30 this Christmas 24th. So we'll be there praying with Pope Francis for all the world and for Jesus to come into people's hearts in a new and greater way.
Look at you, you name dropper. Oh, I'm just hanging with the Pope. Christmas Eve. All right, listen.
3,000 of my closest friends.
Exactly. Listen, good to talk with you. Have a blessed Christmas. I can't wait to see you in person, God willing, in April. Father Mark Hadu with the Vatican Patrons. His book is beautiful. Get it. Great Christmas gift. Meditations on Vatican Art, published by Liguori. Dan Gaynor from Media Research Center up next. All about the media and Duck Dynasty. Stay tuned.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. Well, after a long effort, our urgent drive did reach its goal over the weekend, and we're glad to have made up the shortfall of those earlier drives. And now we've begun to position ourselves to take on some new communication responsibilities in the world of both Catholic and secular media. So thank you for all you do in partnership with us, and keep us in your prayers.
'Cause I am so glad you came.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo. Discover the joy of giving this Christmas season by donating your gently used clothing and household goods to any of St. Vincent de Paul's 12 thrift stores conveniently located throughout Southeast Michigan. Your donations are tax deductible and will help St. Vincent de Paul in its mission to provide food, shelter, and Christmas cheer to those hurting in our community. Visit svdpdetroit.org for a list of thrift stores or call 877-ST-VINCE. That's svdpdetroit.org. Discover the joy of giving.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
Hi, I'm Mike Stechelty, and here are the headlines in this week's Michigan Catholic newspaper. Local priests and religious hold the fort in the war on Christmas. 5 Detroit area parishes band together to fight hunger. And an innovative business idea that mixes faith and fun. To read these stories and more, call today for your free copy of the Michigan Catholic newspaper. This offer won't last. So call 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
What child is this who's laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds walk
Friday morning, December 20th, 2013. Good to be with you. And, oh boy, very interesting response. I wonder if A&E is surprised. And also, I wonder if the secular media are surprised. And do you think they would have gotten the clue when the whole Chick-fil-A thing happened? Dan Gaynor is with the Media Research Center. And, Dan, I don't know where to begin with this one. What say you? What will give us your reaction, first of all, to everything that's happened in the last couple of days with Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson.
Well, I think A&E is caught in a spot that they did not ever envision, and that is when they created this show, it was another one of these anti-rural people shows, like Buck Wild, like Honey Boo Boo. I think they thought they were going to get another show. We're going to make fun of those rubes who still believe in God and hang out with their family and stuff like that. TV didn't used to do it. TV used to love rural people shows, Beverly Hillbillies and Hee Haw and stuff, but now they make fun of people. So they created a show, and they got the exact opposite of what I think they were trying to create, which is they got a family-friendly, religion-friendly show of a group of people who end their show in prayer. Because earlier this year, A&E tried to, they actually went around deleting Jesus out of the prayer, make it sound like the family was cursing, deleting Jesus, like, you know, it's a four-letter word. So they've been trying to rein them in before. Now A&E, which, like most entertainment networks, is this big lefty enclave, part owned by Disney, part owned by Hearst, and now they find they can't rein in the people. And the result of that, who knows? It sounds like the Duck Dynasty family is ready to walk.
Yeah, I read the statement on the air going into the break, and they basically said they can't continue without him, and they're in discussions right now with A&E.
Well, they're millionaires. They don't need A&E. A&E needs them.
Right. But here's the thing that's frustrating to me, having been in broadcasting since dirt. When you're in the business, you have to know your audience. Either they didn't know their audience or they didn't care about their audience, because obviously they knew that they were having success with this show, which is one of the reasons why they keep it on.
Well, I think they didn't know the audience they'd get when they created the show. I think they thought it would be a typical A&E's an arty network. I think they thought it would be a typical kind of East Coast, West Coast audience that sits around and watches it and sips their hot cocoa in their onesies and makes fun of the people who are on air. But instead, they got an audience that is hardcore pro-family, pro-faith, pro-freedom, and they marketed that as much as they could because they were happy about it. But then when this happens, it breaks the number one commandment of media, which is thou shalt not offend the LGBT mafia. Because, if you go after them, they will come gunning for you. The GLAAD people who actively want to silence anyone who is pro-traditional marriage from the airwaves. They have this commentator tracker on their website, and they try to notify people, oh, see, this commentator's a hater and not expressive of the views of people who are on the other side of the issue. They don't think there should be another side of the issue. They think only that people who are pro-gay marriage should be on television. Anybody else, I mean, their list reads like the who's who of the conservative movement.
Right. And I had to go through when I was putting together my newscast this morning, because I do subscribe to a secular wire service where we get some of our audio bites and whatnot. And I had to go through and rewrite it, which I often have to do when anything of faith comes up on a secular newswire. And the way they were referring to his comments, calling anti-gay, and if you look at what he said, he was talking about a number of different sexual sins. He was talking about a number of different sins, and he was saying, I am not judging. The Almighty God judges. I want to teach people about the love of Jesus. In the end, it's going to be God, but I'm Christian, and this is what the Bible says. I didn't hear any word of hate or anything nasty or mean about people with same-sex attraction in those statements.
Yeah, he doesn't say that he's some paragon of virtue. You know, he doesn't ever set himself up that way. You know, but he says this is the way to heaven. He talks about adultery, which, you know, given the population numbers, that is largely a heterosexual sin. He talks about, you know, drunkards and all that. But in our society now, we are so PC on the gay issue that you can't say anything involving gays where you are not. They've gone from asking for tolerance, and I've said for years they didn't want tolerance, they wanted acceptance. But someone pointed this out to me on Twitter as this was happening, and I have to agree. They're no longer satisfied with even acceptance. They want celebration. If you are not pro-gay, you're wrong, and you will be squashed. So the GLAAD morons are out there trying to squash the Duck Dynasty, and they may well succeed, but if they chase them off air, I guarantee they'll end up on some network.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting the different statements that have come out from various pro-marriage groups and pro-family politicians. So we've got a December 19th statement from Governor Jindal, and he's criticizing the politically correct crowd for stigmatizing viewpoints they disagree with. He said it's a messed up situation. I thought this is a good point. When Miley Cyrus gets a laugh and Phil Robertson gets suspended.
Well, I mean, in America, we've moved into the post-Christian era. I'm stunned that it happened this fast. I know, you can certainly think reading the Bible, maybe we get there sooner or later, but in my lifetime, we've gone from being pro-Christian to anti-Christian in America every day. This week, we've seen a baker in Oregon being told if he doesn't bake a cake for a gay marriage, he could go to jail, according to a judge's order. We now see you can be suspended on your job if you espouse things that are said in the Bible. That is where the left wants to take this. They want to take it so that it is not just your faith. You're not supposed to practice your faith in public. They want you to practice the faith they believe in, the state-approved pro-gay marriage faith.
So what can we do about it? It seems like I don't even have to ask that question because I think many, many people, not just Christian, have spoken out because they're very upset about the way Phil Robertson was treated. And so people are, they're going on Facebook, there's petitions, they've been writing to A&E. What else have you seen?
Well, I've definitely seen people talk about boycotts of A&E until the Robertsons come back. And A&E has some good programming. I'm a big Star Wars fan, but that doesn't mean that I'll watch it after this. It's unfortunate. If you're a liberal in our society, you can live in the bubble and never encounter conservative thought. But if you're conservative, you have to embrace that you're going to be watching liberal media all your life because that's almost all the media there is. So I think people need to understand the final analysis, the way to strike media outlets in their heart is hit them in their wallet. And so no matter how this plays out, remember they've got advertisers.
Yeah. Dan, thanks. Appreciate the work at the Media Research Center. Dan, by the way, is the Vice President for Business and Culture, Dan Gaynor. Always remember 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give a defense of the hope that is within you, but to do it with gentleness and love. Amen. We'll be right back with Janet Moreno. Stay tuned.
America's most effective Catholic apologists are urging us to read Al Cresta's Dangers to the Faith, Catholicism's 21st Century Opponents. Patrick Madrid says,
Dangers to the Faith is a serious, substantive, significant work of cultural apologetics.
Steve Ray says,
Cresta exposes Catholicism's enemies and gives us a clear plan of action. Study it as a torch to light the way into a new century.
Carl Keating added,
Dangers to the Faith points toward the one thing that will bring real fulfillment to everyone who seeks it. The Catholic Faith.
Jimmy Akin.
Al Cresta is one of the most insightful and intelligent commentators on the Catholic scene. Dangers to the Faith exposes the sources of confusion and demolishes them one by one.
Patrick Hoffman.
Cresta has a preternatural knack for dissecting headlines and exposing the story behind the story. Dangers to the Faith is a clear look at the big isms that have screwed up the world and tainted the church.
Al Cresta's Danger to the Faith at your local Catholic bookstore, wherever books are sold, or at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask me how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. I've been telling my friends about Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care. They're the angels who can help. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. For more information, including franchise opportunities, visit them online at visitingangels.com.
Crossing cultures and transforming lives through the gospel. The Pine Missionaries are priests and brothers committed to lifelong service. Their ministries include the foundation of schools, hospitals, orphanages, and the pastoral care of newly founded Catholic communities in 18 countries. Pine has been serving the Archdiocese of Detroit since 1947. Your hometown missionaries, Pine Missionaries, welcome your support and involvement. Visit pineusa.org or find them on Facebook.
Welcome back. Friday, December 20th, 39 minutes past the hour. Good to talk with Janet Moreno, Executive Director of Priest for Life, co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, and my co-host on The Catholic View for Women, which you can see now in rerun. How many seasons? I was trying to figure out. It's gone by so quickly. Are we in season three or season four now that's rerun now?
This is season three because our first season was just six shows, but they call it season one. I think we were calling it like the pilot.
Right.
But that's season one, and last year was season two. So we're in season three, and when we go back in June to tape, we'll be taping season four, God willing.
Wow.
So time flies, doesn't it, when you're having fun?
It does, but it re-airs on Friday mornings at 10:30 Eastern, and, of course, at 11 o'clock Eastern 11 p.m. on Wednesday nights. And, of course, for more information, thecatholicviewforwomen.com or EWTN.com. Okay, so you had quite an interesting blog recently that was posted on our website, The Catholic View for Women, and also on Priests for Life regarding the whole... Now, there's all these controversies going on right now, and always it seems to be around Christmas, the issue of faith. Christmas and Easter seems to be, you know, the culture loves to attack us.
Right. But
and we're just supposed to sit down and shut up and not say anything.
Yeah, but for some reason, they really... attack more heavily at Christmas time, you know, because I guess because of all the commercialism and everything. And, you know, I just get very adamant about certain things. So, for example, when clerks and stores go to me, Happy Holidays, and I said, and a Merry Christmas to you, too, I always say that. You know, I just, sorry, it's Merry Christmas. I mean, especially here in New York where I am, Hanukkah was like 3 weeks ago. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, we can now say just say Merry Christmas, you know. But the other day I was watching the TV, and lo and behold, another ridiculousness came, which is why I had to write the blog, because, you know, I just, I got crazy that this blogger, she's on obviously the left side of the aisle, she wrote this article how as a child, as an African-American child, she was traumatized by all the white Santa Clauses. And so, you know, she thinks children of other colors, you know, whether they're Latinas or Asian or whatever, they're traumatized by all these white Santas. And she said she's suggesting that Santa Claus should be a penguin, neutral, you know, everyone loves little penguins, and let's have Santa penguin. So I said, are you kidding me? For crying out loud, or as he would say, T. I said, this is now getting ridiculous. And part of the problem was, and I was a little disappointed on Fox News when they were reporting about the ridiculousness of Santa Penguin, that they didn't go into where did Santa Claus come from.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking, okay, come on, Bill O'Reilly and the others, he's supposedly Catholic. What is the history of St. Nicholas? Let's talk about how we got Santa. And actually, what we have now is a totally commercialized Santa Claus version of this. So let's go back and look at the roots. And that's what I thought that was really good about your blog, because you did that.
Yeah, and of course, it comes from St. Nicholas. And here's a little conscience check for all your listeners. How many people put out a St. Nicholas statue in their home of some sort at Christmas time? Like, I have one I bought, and he's prominently displayed with my manger scene because I try to teach people that, yeah, it doesn't mean I'm not going to have grandchildren. Of course, I have pictures of Santa Claus. But I'm also going to teach my grandchildren about St. Nicholas, that this is where Santa Claus came from, the tradition. And the funny thing is, you know, people don't even realize St. Nicholas was a wealthy and generous young man. He eventually, of course, became a priest and then a bishop, but he was from Turkey. So probably the real St. Nicholas, he probably wasn't super Caucasian. You know, people in Turkey are a little bit more of olive skin, right, T?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so, okay, so already we've morphed it. And he was very generous, and this is where the tradition came from. And so, like, why don't we talk about St. Nicholas a little bit more? I mean,
I love your line here. Let me read this. He became a priest and then a bishop. I don't know if he had rosy red cheeks, but I do know he was not a penguin. He was actual flesh and blood human being.
Yeah, exactly. He was
present at the Council of Nicaea, by the way, and actually we thrown in prison for promoting the truth of Christianity, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so he's a great saint to even look up to. And I think, you know, we as Catholics should teach our young children that, yes, this is the tradition that Santa Claus came from, you know, and then it spread, you know, especially like, and the reason why we get white Santa Claus is really Caucasian is because the tradition spread up to like Germany, Sweden, Norway, and those countries and over to England. And that's how we got then the rosy-cheeked Santa. But the tradition really starts with good old Saint Nick.
Nicholas.
And
even
there, if you think about some of the more traditional Christmas songs, they talk about good old Saint Nick, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are songs out there. Research them. Go Google them. There are some Christmas songs out there that say good old St. Nick. So I just had to write it to you because it just gets me crazy. And, you know, this time of the year, you know, we have to really, you know, hold the line here as Catholics and really focus people on what is Christmas all about. It's a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, when Christ became man and entered into our universe to save us, you know. I mean,
you know, it's interesting because I think of this woman who wrote this blog, and I did see some of the commentary of her, not only online but also on television. If she would take the time to look up St. Nick and to find out where he was from and what he did, I think she would actually re-embrace Santa Claus. Maybe not in its current, you know, commercialized form, but who knows what kind of effect that could have on her, where she looks at his roots and how he saved a lot of young girls who were being sold into slavery. That was another thing he was known for.
That's right.
So this is it's very interesting, and this is where it's important to do a little bit of research and know your faith.
Right, exactly. And yeah. So let's do the little checklist now for all our listeners. Do you only buy Christmas cards with a religious scene on them, meaning Mary and the Christ child, or the three kings, or solemn religious, thing on the card? Because I think I told you before we got on air here, anyone who sends me cards that aren't religious, I just toss them out. Sorry, guys, mm-hmm. but I throw them out. I don't save them from year to year. I only save the religious ones, And with wrapping paper, I don't buy wrapping paper to you that says Happy Holidays.
Season's greetings or Happy Holidays, right.
Yeah, none of that. Yeah. I buy Merry Christmas only, and if I can't find Merry Christmas, then I buy a plain gold or red and put pretty ribbons on it, but I'm not going to buy Happy Holidays and Season's greetings and all that stuff. We can change the commercialism if we hold the line. Just think about it. If everyone listening to your program would follow the things we're saying and did them, well, then we're all consumers and we're buying stuff. If the stores run out, and I even do it with the stamps, with the post office, the Madonna and Child stamp. I only buy that one. I don't buy all the other symbols they have. I say I only want Madonna and Child. And actually, what I do is, because this year the Madonna and Child stamps, everybody, are forever stamps. And being postage is going up on January 1st, it's a great time to sell out those Madonna and Child on the post office and let them be stuck with the season's greeting stamps,
Even in my own decorations of my home outside, I have one thing that's not, Callie, I have a little reindeer, just like one of those little reindeers, but on my flag, it's the Holy Family flag, and I have other little flags that have Oh Holy Night. Everything has a Christian message.
Exactly, and I have the same thing. I have this big thing that says joy, and the O inside the O is the whole manger scene. I have a beautiful angel flag hanging, and then
I
have
another. I have an angel flag, too. Yeah. That says rejoice.
We've got to,
remind people.
We have to give some pushback,
Yeah,
and, of
absolutely.
Course, let's not forget the billboard in Times Square, the good old atheist fundraising. They raise the money every year for this giant billboard. Last year was the most offensive. This year, it's now where they said that Christmas is not about God or Christ. It's about family, friends, food, and Chinese restaurants, which, of course, if you've seen the movie The Christmas Story, that's what happens.
Yeah, but just the fact that you're saying that, it acknowledges the fact that there's something special going on that you get together to have the food, yada, yada, yada. It's just, it's craziness. I can't even go there because I just want to be peaceful. So I just
have to continue to
put a message out there about the real meaning of Christmas, that Jesus is the reason.
Right, and I'm sure if you go to the EWTN religious catalog, I'm sure you can find a nice statue of Saint Nick.
Saint Nicholas.
Saint Nicholas. Get
and
that Saint Nicholas statue. Start a new tradition in your home.
Absolutely.
And maybe, and tell everyone about Saint Nicholas,
Yeah. All right, and read your blog, too, because you have some good background information in there. Okay, my dear, we're out of time. Have a very very, very Merry Christmas. I know I'll probably speak to you next week.
You too, and all your listeners, I hope they have a blessed Christmas.
Yes, a Christmas, and Jesus is the reason
for
the
season.
Yeah,
exactly.
Amen. We'll be right back with Dan Burke. Stay tuned.
The best things will only grow in a field of prayer. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And in our busy world, we feel it is important to pause and give thanks for our blessings. We are grateful to be serving Livingston County for over 14 years and welcome you into our comfortable showroom to feel great about your next new vehicle purchase. You will be thankful you did. Visit us today at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or at PinckneyChrysler.com during the Big Finish year-end sales event on all new and certified pre-owned vehicles.
What makes Advanced Dentistry Center unique? While all dentists preach comfort, Dr. Mahdi uses laser technology with many of his patients. The laser's precise work allows for faster healing on periodontal pockets and root canals while diminishing the risk for bacteria to linger, giving you and your family the results you want. Here's Dr. Mahdi.
Using laser for treating gum disease will reduce your chance of needing further treatment, like advanced gum surgeries, and also will increase your chance of saving your teeth for the rest of your life.
And Advanced Dentistry Center is one of the few places in the state that has it. Laser can also fix most cavities without a local anesthetic or shot. Learn about their services and get testimonials at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. That's AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Or call 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. Advanced Dentistry Center is a general practice who provides the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best.
Father John Ricardo's brother, Peter Ricardo, is wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas. And he's asking you to please remember the life-saving work of mother and unborn baby care as you select charities to support at year's end. This year alone, over 100 babies will celebrate a first Christmas because their mother changed her mind about abortion. If you're unable to support financially, consider volunteering. There are many ways to help save lives. For more information, call 248-202-4903.
Time once again for our spiritual direction connection with our friend Dan Burke, Executive Director of EWTN's National Catholic Register and the founder of the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation. For the last couple of weeks, since my new book, God's Bucket List, has been on the market, Dan has been turning the tables on yours truly and interviewing me about the book, because there is a lot in the book about spiritual direction, finding what God wants for your life, and so on and so forth. And so we are on now, I believe, Chapter 3, correct? Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Live with instruction. And, you know, as we're heading toward the end of the, or toward the pinnacle, maybe is a better way of putting it, of the Advent season to Christmas, if folks are looking for last-minute Christmas ideas for Catholics who are on the edge of the church, maybe, but also right in the center, this book is just fantastic. And the chapter we're talking about is Live with Instruction. And you make so many good observations here about God's desire for us to lead us to the abundant life, and how we can get to that abundant life. There's one quote, I think, I wonder if you could comment on, from the beginning of the chapter, and it's, I think, second paragraph down. We are given such solid, reliable, and helpful directions from God and His witnesses on the best way to navigate through this world, but rarely do we ever take these directions seriously. Isn't that it is a mark of our culture. I think the baby boomers are the most arrogant, and they think they know the most and actually know the least, don't we?
Yeah, and I go right into the next line. How difficult could this happiness thing be? After all, we're mature, educated, and intelligent adults living in the most modern and sophisticated country in the world, and like our parents and grandparents, most of us have at least a high school diploma and one college degree, if not several. So the temptation is to think we have everything we need to navigate the highways and byways of life. And let's be honest, don't a lot of us think that relying too much on God and His Word in the Bible is something seen as fanatical?
Yeah, and so, you know, it's funny because I had that also highlighted. But what is it about our culture where we think we know so much more than we actually do? I don't understand it. I don't know what it is that drives.
I think it's pride. I think it goes back to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. They want to be God, and they've been tricked, you know, by Satan and original sin and the whole bit, thinking that, oh, you know, we are all that in the bag of chips and we can do anything we want and we don't need anybody but ourselves. But I don't think it's anything new. I think it's worse now because we have this huge explosion of the mass media, and so these messages are getting out there 24/7 and they're in our face. But I really don't think it's anything new.
Yeah, you know, and later in this chapter, you reflect and give us some wisdom from Archbishop Shep Pugh regarding the prosperity issue. And though our economy is kind of teetering along or you know, creeping along, we still are, you know, none of us, the vast majority in the United States don't worry about running water or four walls and a roof. And even in many impoverished areas, you've got running water, four walls, and a roof in a shack with a Cadillac on the outside parked in the driveway. So, you know, I think that prosperity tends to breed that arrogance and that pridefulness. We still have a lot of opportunity in our country. The other thing is we spend a lot of time I don't know, and what you've written about this, these little, I don't know what you call them, snippets of information, not really going deep into anything.
Right.
If, you know, the sort of the Facebook generation, and we think if we have a little dialogue and we watch a little news, we know it. But, you know, the one thing you said that I think breaks this illusion which happened to you, it follows that last quote, which is that you said you found your life to be in a pile of parts on the living room floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you stopped worrying about what anyone would think about you regarding where to find answers. And then we talked a little bit about that, but tell us about that brokenness that led you to say, okay, I don't have it. Somebody else has got to help me.
Well, some of us have thicker heads than others, and I have a very thick Italian skull with lots of hair over it, so sometimes it takes longer to get to me to understand it. But and you don't have to go that route where your life is falling apart till you finally realize, oh, maybe I am not, you know, it's not all about me. And that was the point with me where I had a broken marriage and I was just fired from a prominent position. And I had done everything that I thought the world told me I was supposed to do in order to be happy. And I still came up empty, extremely empty and extremely broken. And that's when I decided, well, maybe this Catholic thing that I grew up with and this crucifix that I had on my wall in the home, maybe that really means something. And that's where I started, just in my brokenness, to look at Bible basic instructions before leaving Earth, and of course the teachings of the Catholic Church. And we're out of time, but thank you so much for your
started.
I know we'll have to continue next week, but thank you so much for the support of this book, and really appreciate all your work at EWTN and the Avila Institute. And by the way, you can still get the book, of course, God's Bucket List. Just go to godsbucketlist.com. There's a cool new Christmas video that we did on the book that gives you more information about what you'll find. And also, of course, check out Dan's work through the Avila Institute and the National Catholic Register. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on a Monday. See ya.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Introducing the sleek, glamorous, and brand new 2014 Jeep Cherokee. Not the same as any other car on the road today. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and we are so excited about this brand new vehicle that gets up to 35 miles per gallon. We ordered 100 of them. So if you want a great deal from a company with morals and values, then come to Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com during the Big Finish year-end sales event.
The stock market,
the world economy,
interest rates,
political change.
In a world full of uncertainty, you can find comfort that your investments are in line with your moral beliefs by investing with the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Long-term investors should consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Call toll-free 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on the investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-AVE-MARIA. 283-6274 or visit AveMariaFunds.com.